The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I am your host. It is Wednesday, March 11th. My goodness, the time flies by when you're having fun. And we're going to have fun on a mailbag podcast soon, so hurry up and get your five-star reviews in if you want to ask us anything about free agency. That's coming up next week. The timing for all of this has changed, and we're going to talk about that today. We'll talk about the new NFLPA president, some other news and notes around the league, and then we'll rank free agent wide receivers. Here to do that with me, great friend of the program, Jonathan Jones. JJ, what's going on, buddy?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you, Will?
I'm doing excellent. I am curious, do you think that, not to derail the show out of the gates, you know, sort of what I do, but...
but to derail it out of the gate.
Well, no, but like short, like, so we're recording this at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, and I spent from like 12 to 12:30 watching the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, give a press conference in which he declared a state of emergency in the state of North Carolina for the coronavirus. There is basically a case of corona about a mile north of my house and a case of corona about a mile south of my house. I'm surrounded. I should just run west to my parents and hide out on their farm. You know, we can just sit in the panic room and hide out on the farm. But, you know, at this point, I feel like I'm probably too close. My dad might not even let me on because I'm too close to an infected case. Do you think that corona is going to – what do you think – how do you think it's going to impact the NFL offseason in terms of – we have the, I mean, look, we have it. Are the owners all going to get together? Cause in theory, all the NFL owners are actually kind of in that group of people who could be affected by the disease. Like, are they going to want to hang out with a bunch of media members?
And, yeah, I mean, right. Like, jokes aside, like, they're the majority of owners are somewhere near the plurality, certainly, of NFL owners.
I'm dead serious. I mean, they are, right. they are senior citizens. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, they're obviously in one of the groups that we continue to hear about are among the most vulnerable. I'll say this right now, as of earlier this morning, the owners meeting is still on. There have been no changes. In fact, the NFL as recently in the past five or so days even changed the media hotel from one hotel to the other. So, like, logistically, they are continuing to plan for this. Of course, they are monitoring the situation. They're speaking to all of the health organizations that they should. But it is still at the end of the month, number one. And so they have time, and they do not have to lead the charge on this, right? This is not the middle of September where, hey, we have to figure this out. That's the next thing that's really on the calendar where there is a group, getting together. And it's at the end of the month. So that's number one. Number two, if this owner's meeting, can absolutely be handled in a conference call on a secure line. It does not have to happen, in real life. Right. And so because of that, and because everyone involved here is rich, and because they can just back out of this and it really ultimately will not change anything, they don't have to make this call, in my opinion, until like the week of. Right. And so if it comes down, I think the start date is March 29th. Which is on a Sunday, like they don't have to make a call until Wednesday or Thursday leading up to that. Now, would it screw over all of the media that's going to go there with non-refundable flights, except, yeah, but when has anyone ever cared about the media?
Right, exactly. And it's like, you know, it's flights. And it's not like it's coming out of the pockets of the individuals who are going down there for the most part. Plus, one other factor in this, and like I am not putting my science hat on here. I'm just throwing this out there because it is a question being asked of people in charge of stuff. Is it possible that warmer weather could prevent coronavirus from spreading aggressively? As in, once it get, you know, like, because that's typically what happens with the flu. You know, once you get into March, April, and May, depending on where you live, flu season wraps up. Maybe if they're in Florida, you're not worried about it. But if I am a 70-year-old billionaire. I am not going to a big conference with a bunch of people from all over the country voluntarily. In fact, yeah, I'm like, hey, listen, we'll do this on the video teleconference. In fact, I might just fly my jet around until the coronavirus is gone.
Well, I appreciate the warmer weather thing, but like you're only there for what, 72 hours? Right. And so like, I don't know if it's just going to die. The virus is going to die because it's 72 degrees or more. You know? But then also, yeah, these owners are also extremely proud, right? There's a lot of pride involved here. And so I can't imagine that someone would miss out on this and then publicly be like, no, I'm scared of getting that virus, but y'all can go do that. Like, they're going to force the NFL, who, let's not forget, Roger Goodell works for the owners and not the other way around. And so they're all going to get together and let him know exactly what he needs to do. So I will not at all be surprised if this turns into just a teleconference. But yeah, they don't have to make that call for another couple weeks.
That's true. And same thing with the draft, not to belabor the point, but like let's say you're Chase Young, right? And, I actually don't know where Chase Young is from. I'm not going to blindly assume that he lives in Alabama. He is, he's from Maryland. Okay. So you're Chase Young or Ohio State. Why do we live in Alabama? I don't know why I thought he went to Alabama.
I don't know either.
Yeah, top prospect, defensive player, probably Alabama. Anyway, he's from Maryland. Let's say you're Chase Young. You're Chase Young. Are you flying, or you're Joe Burrow, either one? Are you getting on an airplane right now and flying? And again, you don't have to make this decision right now, but just, you know, if you were doing it right now, would you fly to Las Vegas to be part of the NFL draft?
Well, the NFL can't make these folks make this decision. Again,
Jameis Winston skipped. He was the first overall pick. We knew it, and he skipped the draft for no other reason than I don't want to be asked questions and be up on that stage, and my grandmother can't travel.
You don't have to. Again, the draft is a fantastic thing. I'm going to be there. We're going to be there. CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. I hope that it goes off without a hitch and all of this is taken care of. But like, people don't have to gather for the NFL draft. This again can all be handled, with a select number of people in a room together. We do not need to bring thousands upon thousands of people. Now, would that be a huge hit to Vegas? Yes. Would it take away from the experiences of a Joe Burrow or a Chase Young who want to go do that? 100%. But again, like this is not the same as like, the NCAA tournament being played without fans in an arena. Like, that is what really sucks, is that fans are potentially going to be stripped of that, of that, and as well as the players. Playing the games is completely different. But yeah, just these events, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And look, I'm not trying to make a scare out of it. I just think with the news that came out in North Carolina, there are 10 cases now, with the Ivy League canceling their tournament. And by the way, Roy Cooper's, he was like, would you go to a sporting event? He's like, yeah. I mean, like, he's like, yeah, I'm going. Like, he's like, I'm not in the case of people who should be concerned, but I think it is something just to keep on our radar for the next month and change. I mean,
right.
It's not that, I mean, like, it's a few weeks, but it's not that long until the draft, until the owners meetings. Okay. But it's very short until free agency. It's going to start. Gosh, it's Wednesday, March 11th. It starts in 1 week, JJ.
People allegedly.
Allegedly.
If they don't move it again, which they can't move it. There's no other place to move it. It has to start.
Well, actually, Debo, sorry, we're gonna veer in, and let's get the schedule. Let's get the timing of this put down first, because I think that is really important. So because of the NFLPA vote, the timing of the franchise tag deadline has been moved to Monday at 4:30 p.m. So that's Monday, March 16th. Excuse me. Yes. And then on Wednesday at 4 p.m., the new league year will begin. Since we're talking free agency, I just want people to know the specifics of that. We said this on HQ on Monday. You, me, and Pete Prisco were on there, and I was trying not to, call Pete out, but he was like, yeah, they might move the tag deadline to Saturday. It's like, you can't move the deadline to Saturday. It has to be a business day. Everyone, how many have you been covering the league for 30 years? You think you can do the tag deadline on a Saturday? The tag deadline will be now on Monday, which is huge. So the CBA vote is coming up.
It's Saturday at midnight, which the CBA vote among players can, because this is not a league office. This is not a league thing. This is the league has already said yes. And so now this is players. So when you say that about the franchise tag deadline, that is not applied to the CBA vote among the players.
And all these players can simply just vote online.
Most of them reportedly already have.
Yes. And there was some buzz, I think, that players wanted to, I think Dan Graziano of ESPN reported that the players wanted to, some players wanted to change their votes and were being told, no, you cannot change your vote. You've already voted. I mean, that's, yeah.
Sure.
Sure. That's sort of how it works.
That's absolutely how it should work. And I think they were more inquiring about whether they could instead of, hey, I want to change my vote. Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, like, hey, the president's elected. You can't go back and change your vote. Okay. I mean, like, that's in the case of J.C. Treader, he was elected the NFLPA president. So, sorry, I'm kind of, this coronavirus thing's got me all worked up. It's intense around here.
Yeah, I mean, if it were closing in on me like a ham sandwich, I'd be a little concerned too.
I'm coming out of Charlotte, buddy. please don't.
No, you aren't. We don't have any cases down here in Charlotte.
We were, and all of the ones here actually stem from a conference that took place, a Biogen conference that took place in Massachusetts.
I believe in Boston, to be specific. So let's put the fault where it should go.
Yeah. So maybe we don't have the owners' meetings in Boston. Maybe we don't do it at Gillette Stadium. But yeah, so it got me all worked up. My mother-in-law called in the middle of this emergency press conference, and my wife was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. She's going to be freaking out. And she was like, she just had no idea. She's like, got other stuff on her mind. We're like, oh, cool. We dodged a bullet there. That's great. Now he's going to miss the corona. So the franchise tag deadline, the vote for the CBA will be 11:59 p.m. on Saturday, March 12th. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yes. It is midnight Saturday.
Midnight Saturday. At that point, there will be roughly 24 hours with which we can either realize that there's no CBA done and they're going to go back and rework it. And we're just going to go into the new league year with the original rules set forth in the old CBA, or the new CBA will be approved by the players and we will go forth with a new CBA and teams will have, 8 a.m. So 8 hours. 8.5 hours to make decisions on how to franchise tag players on Monday. If the CBA, if the vote is no, they will have a franchise tag and a transition tag. If the vote is yes, they will just have a franchise tag. I think I got that all right. And then at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, the new league year will open. And in between that will be tampering. But this, JJ, this could set up to be the wildest 48 hours we've seen maybe since 2011. Except maybe when they first instituted the tampering period, just because the tag, you're going to have people legally tampering at the same time as teams are maneuvering to put tags in place, which is very interesting for a team or not.
Well, no, because the tag. So here's the timeline is that it gets voted on Saturday at midnight. Theoretically, Sunday at 12:01 a.m., right? Saturday night, Sunday morning, we should know yes or no. And so then you have all of Sunday, and then you have until the second before noon on Monday to tag your players.
Oh, so noon is the tag deadline on Monday.
Correct. Noon is the tag deadline on Monday. 11:59:59 is the tag deadline on Monday. And then as soon as the clock strikes noon, that you can no longer tag anyone, and legal tampering begins. And so you have 1 second, less than a second, between the tag deadline and the legal tampering window. So there will not – those two things
so
will not
– So there's no actual crossover. Okay.
No crossover, but you do have – what is that? 36 hours to make the decision on tagging.
But it still certainly affects your planning because even though the legal tampering – all right, here's the most concrete example I would give is that even though the legal tampering period is not open – until noon. I mean, come on. Like, you tell me, like, if the Titans are making a call on what they're going to do on their franchise tag, they're going to be in discussions with, like, there's going to be some sort of chatter with Tom Brady throughout the morning. Don't you agree?
Well, legally, I would think if I'm the Titans, if I'm John Robinson and the rest of the Titans brass, I am getting as much sleep as I can Saturday afternoon because I am probably not going to be able to get a 30-minute nap in from midnight Saturday through, I mean, probably the next several days. Yeah. And because, yes, right now they have three guys that they would potentially like to apply two tags to. And it is possible that they will only have one tag available to them, and they will have 36 hours to decide who that goes to and how that's going to work out for their math and calculus while hoping to have some sort of back channel dialogue with a Tom Brady before the legal tampering window opens up, or at least have some idea of it. Because the last thing you want to do is be caught with your pants down, like in 2012 when Peyton Manning did his free agency tour. And so many teams, and I've said this until I was blue in the face, but so many teams put their eggs into the Peyton Manning basket. The Arizona Cardinals put their eggs into the Peyton Manning basket. They had to extend Kevin Cobb.
Tons of guys got fired because of that, because they missed. Yeah.
Right. Mark Sanchez got extended because the Jets were in it earlier, and then they ended up having to. You can go back, and the effects of that one singular decision had wide-ranging impacts for years to come. And that's what's absolutely going to happen with the Tennessee Titans. I have reported, it was out at the combine that, like, ooh, the Titans are going to work to get a long-term deal done with Ryan Tannehill quickly. And first of all, that didn't make any sense on a common sense level. But then number two, my reporting had said that they're going to wait until as late as they can to apply the tag if they want to apply the tag, because they are very legitimately into Tom Brady sweepstakes.
Yeah. And so look, a team like the Colts may say, you know what? We want to be in on Peyton. I mean, on Tom Brady, but you know, we got this option with Phillip Rivers here. We don't have to worry about burning a bridge. We don't have to worry about losing out on somebody else, you know, or maybe even Teddy Bridgewater, whoever it is. So in that sense, teams are going to be working fast and furious behind the scenes to try and gauge what the sense for Tom Brady and these other quarterbacks will be. Like, if you're the Chargers, you've got a little wiggle room because you have Tyrod Taylor on under contract. You know you can dig into the draft. You know there's some secondary options out there. But for a team like the Titans that doesn't know and won't know probably until midnight, until the clock strikes Sunday, whether or not they have one or two tags, it's going to be a very hairy couple of hours. And the same applies to the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they have they will have, and you know, from Sunday at midnight when Sunday starts until Monday at noon Eastern to decide if they want to apply the franchise tag to Dak Prescott, or if they have multiple tags and they want to use one on Amari Cooper, et cetera, which probably explains why they've ramped up their discussions with Dak Prescott. I would sense that that's a sign too, JJ, that we could be heading towards a yes vote.
Well, and so I think before your coronavirus mind kind of went into multiple different directions, Will, I think that we were going to talk about the J.C. Tretter vote as the NFLPA president, and how that could signal more than not that this is trending to a yes vote. J.C. Tretter has come out. He has not publicly made a stance on this. He's kind of a public centrist, but there are some murmurs that he is a yes vote on this, and that would be buttressed by the fact that Michael Thomas, the Giants representative, who was backed by Russell Okun, Richard Sherman, some other very prominent no votes of the CBA, that J.C. Tretter gets this nomination. And so while we have all kind of felt that this is going to be a yes vote because of so many minimum salary guys and how that is the majority of the NFL, et cetera, this kind of adds another element to that that would make us believe, okay, yes. And then also that the NFL has been playing ball with the PA in terms of, hey, we'll let you extend your deadline because we ultimately think that this is going to be good for everyone, quote unquote. Everything leads me and a reasonable person, which I am, to believe that this is going to be a yes vote. And so because of that, yes, the Cowboys, and who are owned by Jerry Jones, who is more plugged into the NFL dealings and doings than anyone else in the world, they very clearly believe, I believe, that they will only have one tag available to them. And it's very difficult for me to see how they're going to be able to pay Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, certainly not Byron Jones, right? I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. But the interesting thing is to see how these teams who have multiple tag options, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Jameis and Shaq Barrett, with the Dallas Cowboys, with the Tennessee Titans. I think those are really the three teams that have multiple tag options, how they are approaching this.
Yeah, and J.C. Tretter, as you pointed out, I think the thing for me is, so Russell Okung has been a very outspoken new Carolina Panthers left tackle. Russell Okung recently traded for Trey Turner in a very bizarre deal. If you have any insight into that, feel free to offer it up. No one else can figure out what the hell is going on with that.
You got it.
Yeah. Do you have insight?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No. This was a move that was made by an organization that clearly does not have alignment from top to bottom on if they are going to win in 2020 and beyond or not. This was also a move that was made by a general manager in Marty Herney, who clearly values the left tackle over the guard, whose play had declined over the past 2 years. No doubt at all about that. He went to 5 Pro Bowls, but the Trey Turner of 2019 was not the Trey Turner of 2017. And then finally, I do think that there was I'm not entirely sure that Matt Rhule was ever in love with Trey Turner. Mm. And this is clearly a move. When you make a move like this, I think it does have to be signed off on by the head coach that you gave a 7-year contract to, that you're getting rid of the young Pro Bowl talent. This is a move that has to be signed off on by Matt Rhule. And I don't think that you sign off on this if you're Matt Rhule, having met Trey Turner maybe once or twice, unless you feel a certain way about Trey Turner. So all of those reasons are why. That doesn't necessarily have to make sense. You can disagree with that if you're a football fan, especially if you're a Panther fan, and I understand, but that's the reasoning.
Okay, that makes sense. So anyway, Russell Okung, New Panther, is one of the guys who is up for election for NFLPA president. He has been an outspoken critic of the new CBA. I think he withdrew his name from the running, right?
Or did he?
He withdrew his name from the running. And so J.C. Treader elected to be the next president of the NFLPA following Eric Winston. I think we would both agree that Russell Okung withdrawing his name and J.C. Treader winning is a potential sign that this deal will get voted, that the yes vote will come through. Because if it looked like the no vote was going to come in, like, it doesn't make any sense for Russell Okung to be the NFLPA president in a year beginning with a new CBA. Like, that everyone just voted yes to, that he was vehemently opposed, right? Like,
right.
It wouldn't make any sense for him to carry on and to try to win that election if he thought he was going to be – like, you're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not.
Well, and he also kind of had the Hail Mary suit against the PA, saying that they were negotiating in bad faith. And that came a day before, of course, he removed his name from consideration as NFLPA president, and then put the weight of his support behind Michael Thomas. And so that he won kind of had what could be viewed as a last ditch effort to throw a wrench into this. That ultimately did not work out on Monday, that he removed himself from president on Tuesday, that the guy that he supported did not win on Tuesday, that a guy who is at least, at the very least, a centrist and probably a yes vote did get voted in by a majority of the player reps. Would all of those things would indicate, or I'm not going to say it indicates a yes vote, but it makes you lean more likely than not to a yes vote.
Yes, I think the signs are leaning towards a yes vote. So if that happens, that's the schedule. Free agency, regardless of yes or no vote, is going to start March 16th. Is that right? I keep getting my dates messed up. March 16th at 4 p.m. And the insanity will begin. Is it 18th? Is it the 18th?
It's the 18th.
It's the 18th. March 18th.
Legal tampering is noon on the 16th. Free agency begins in earnest Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern on the 18th.
See, this is what happens when you record a podcast the day before and you're trying to do this, like, you're adding 7. You're like, that doesn't make sense. It's going to
right.
You know, I'm like doing math in my head. So yes, 14th CBA vote, 16th franchise tag window at noon, 18th NFL year begins at 4 p.m. and free agency is open. And in between the 16th and the 18th, we have legal tampering. Marshall Yanda retiring. Ooh, 8 Pro Bowls, 2-time first team All Pro, 5-time second team All Pro, 166 career starts. I have 2 questions for you, JJ. 1, is Marshall Yanda a Hall of Famer? And 2, are the Ravens sort of screwed right now?
Number 1, yes, he is a Hall of Famer. First ballot, I probably not, just because I see the glut of fantastic offensive lineman, interior, and tackles.
It's probably all about timing for first ballot. He could easily be a first ballot Hall of Famer if he's like the top, you know what I mean? Like, if he's the top, it depends on when these quarterbacks retire and who's left sitting out there.
It does, but then also, like, it also depends. Like, Troy Polamalu was the only obvious first ballot Hall of Famer as a first timer this past year, right?
Yeah.
And then it was all kind of viewed as, okay, let's get these other guys in. Let's take care of them. And so I don't know if Marshall Yanda, again, being an interior offensive lineman, if there's really ever going to be the opportunity to be a first ballot Hall of Famer in this era of football with all of the numbers that are going to be coming out. So that's number one, but he does deserve his place in Canton, and hopefully he does not have to wait too long. And then as far as if the Ravens are screwed or not, according to my sources, they all knew throughout the entire 2019 season that it was very, very possible that this was Marshall Yanda's last ride. So you would have to assume that the Ravens, led by Eric DaCosta, with Ozzie Newsome still in that front office, that they clearly were planning some sort of contingency for what happened today. I was further told recently by a source that the Ravens knew for sure shortly after the Super Bowl. Mm. And so this was not news to them today, even though the news finally came out. This has long been expected, but they at least have known for certain for a number of weeks, several weeks. And so, yes, the plans, the wheels have been in motion. What they're going to do, I'm not entirely sure about, but they were not caught off guard by any means by this announcement.
Additionally, the Hall of Fame game, August 6th, will feature the Steelers and the Cowboys. What a matchup. Of course, Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher, our colleague, will be going in as the, you know, former Steelers coach, former Cowboys coach. And Troy Polamalu, who you mentioned, first ballot Hall of Famer, all-time great Steelers player, will be in that class. Can you imagine a better matchup for ratings and drawing people to Canton in August than this the Steel City, Dallas, you know, America's team matchup?
I cannot. It's going to be a lot of fun from a if you're going to be in Canton, I think that's going to be really fantastic. If you're going to watch it, I'm very sorry. I was there physically last year. I could not have been more bored in the press box. And really, it's going to start that game probably with a Cooper Rush versus Mason Rudolph.
Yes, it is.
Going to get worse from there.
Yes. And Dak Prescott may not even have a contract at that point. He might. He might not. He might be holding out. There could be tons of Dak business. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see I don't think you're going to see any Dak Prescott or any Ben Roethlisberger. The Panthers brought back Kyle Allen on a one-year deal. Do you think there's a chance that the Panthers sign Philip Walker from the Houston Roughnecks of the XFL? He played at Temple, right? He did play at Temple. Yeah, he played at Temple under Matt Rhule, I believe.
Yeah, I didn't watch a ton of XFL this past week, but the times I did see him, he had one interception. One of his first passes, which was terribly underthrown, should have been picked, was dropped. I think he threw a pick shortly thereafter. I don't know what they're going to do with that position. At this point, with re-signing Kyle Allen, which I understand why, and it's honestly, there's no reason not to. And that doesn't mean that he's even going to be on the roster come September 10th. But now they have three quarterbacks under contract. I'm not sure you have to bring on a Philip Walker or really anyone else at this moment. Priority number one is seeing how and when Cam Newton can get healthy. And from there, everything will flow.
Yeah, according to Ian Rappaport, $585,000 one-year contract. So not exactly a – again, they certainly not guaranteed a roster spot should the Panthers decide to make a play in the draft or even get splashy in free agency. And yeah, look, my theory all along has been that they're going to roll with Kyle Allen and Will Greer, trade Cam, and just stink the joint up and be like, hey, we gave Greer a shot to see what he had. One more notable piece of news. Christian Kirksey released by the Browns. Bit of a surprise. He missed a bunch of time last year due to being on injured reserve. But he's been a really good player for them at various points of his career. Was on the Browns for the last 6 years. Of course, they have a new coaching staff, new front office. So maybe not an entirely huge surprise, especially if they don't believe he's healthy. And then they had Mack Wilson come in as a 2019 draft pick. Any thoughts on Christian Kirksey?
No thoughts. Easy to get that extra cap space. Yeah, you have the new staff in there. easy to move on and go about your business. Wash your hands.
Yeah. Oh, and the Texans signed Kymie Fairbairn. Huge news in kicker land. So that's you got to make sure you cover that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Jonathan and I will tell you who the top available free agent wide receivers are, which would have AJ Green, Amari Cooper. Maybe we'll bring on John Breach for an emergency Fairbairn podcast as well.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Free agency starting soon. As we mentioned earlier in the show, March 18th, 4 p.m., teams can actually announce signings or proceed with signings. And the wide receiver class is fascinating, JJ, because I think mostly because it sort of matches up with the draft class. This is a loaded wide receiver draft class. I mean, studs and studs and studs. Nobody that's like necessary. I tend to think CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy can be, I don't want to call them like Julio Jones, AJ Green types, because that, I think that does a disservice to really any young player coming to the league to compare them to a borderline Hall of, Julio definitely be the Hall of Fame, AJ borderline Hall of Fame, to compare them to that type of player. But there's a great group of guys, who look like they can be viable starters in the NFL out of the gate. However, they will have to compete with teams who are signed. Teams will have to decide, do they want to draft somebody like that, or do they want to sign somebody like AJ Green should he make it to free agency? Let's go through your top five wide receivers. Who's at number five?
Number five, I have Randall Cobb. Yeah, sorry. I had to remember who it was. Number five, I have Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb, of course, coming off that season with the Cowboys, really difficult to see how they're going to be able to pay him. And so as I was going through this, and I thought to myself, well, I thought, where could he end up? In fact, I didn't think that to myself. Debo asked me where he could end up, and I would have to tell you on here. And so I'm going to tell you that I'm looking at an Indianapolis Colts, a team that was really struggling to throw the ball down the field last year. Now, a lot of that had to do, of course, with Jacoby Brissett. I understand that, but I've never really been impressed with the wide receiving group that the Colts have. Of course, they thought that they were going to have a few more options. That did not work out with Devin Funchess, who dealt with injury for most of the season. So Randall Cobb, he's going to turn 30 before next season. He's had nine NFL seasons. He had 800-plus receiving yards last year. I like him with the Colts and whoever their quarterback could be.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The question is, would you rather have a guy like Randall Cobb who bounced back nicely, who fits with the perfect slot style of the modern NFL. You go three wide receiver sets, et cetera, et cetera. He can win outside in some cases. Might be too old for that now. He's going to be 30 before the season starts. Or would you rather dabble in the Breshad Perryman sweepstakes? And I might be inclined to agree with you. I like the Breshad Perryman thing freaks me out. Like, what? Like, do you really, like, this guy, like, Ozzie Newsome couldn't get this guy right. And you're telling me that now, like, Jameis Winston fixed him? I don't know if I'm buying into that entirely.
I would run away from Breshad Perryman. He might be a fantastic human being, but in terms of on the field play, I think that it was a flash in the pan. How he sort of came on there in November and December for the Bucks. Certainly, you know, Jameis with the 5,000 passing yards sort of inflated his 645 receiving yards. Perryman, he's had issues for most of his career, and I'm not willing to take a few weeks from last season and think that he's turned a corner.
I kind of tend to agree with you. I wouldn't be opposed to like a 1 year, not too pricey deal with Breshad Perryman, but I would not want to make some big free agency splash on that guy, given what's out there. It is interesting too that this class offers a lot of slot options, like Geronimo Allison is there, Nelson Aguilar, Philip Dorsett. Devin Funchess maybe didn't make the cut for you, JJ. No surprise there. He's more of a tight end, not a slot guy. But then, also DeMarcus Robinson, who was very effective in Kansas City system. I think there's a lot of speed slot guys out there. So if I were a general manager, what I would do is probably let the top of the market, you know, do their own thing, because I don't want to overpay for top of the market. I would then sign a slot. If I got a young quarterback here, I would sign a slot guy in free agency at a lower cost and then go out and get my number one in theory in the draft. So that's probably why those guys didn't make the top five. And I would tend to agree with you. Who's your number four on this list?
Number four. I have Robbie Anderson.
Coming off, demon.
Love him. Coming off that season with the New York Jets. My best fit for him is the New York Jets. Because gosh, they really, if they lose him, I don't know what they're going to do at the receiver position. They absolutely have to upgrade. Even by keeping him, they need to upgrade. I know they got to upgrade that offensive line as well, but 779 receiving yards last season. He'll be 27 this upcoming year. If enough teams and if the Jets want to mess around with this, if Joe Douglas wants to mess around with this, and I know he has been, in conversations with Robbie Anderson's representation. If some teams get involved here and this isn't taken care of, at the very start of the legal tampering window or before, the price could go up on Robbie Anderson because of his age, because of his speed, because of what he did last season. And then you can start approaching $14, $15 million per year. I think the Jets absolutely have to knock this out early. And if they mess this up in some way, if they decide not to bring him back, I'm looking at a place that he could go to. I'm looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, who obviously – could always use an upgrade there. I'd be interested to see. There may be some overlap there, but the Eagles obviously need help at wide receiver. But I hope Robbie Anderson's back with the Jets.
I kind of like that idea. And I do think there's a little bit of, like, I don't want to say DeSean Jackson to his game. That's an insult to DeSean Jackson. No one's as fast as DeSean Jackson.
Right.
But Robbie Anderson could be more of a – he's more of a – like, he's a bigger body type of guy, but who also possesses that deep speed that might be complementary for the other pieces that the Eagles have. So I don't hate that idea. Even though I don't know if Howie Roseman takes a deep dive in free agency, but he's got cash to burn, so maybe it happens. I was going to ask you your number three is, and then I started to say it. Emmanuel Sanders is your third wideout.
He is my third wideout, and it's really just because of age. He's going to turn 33. Where do I have him? He obviously is not going to be in San Francisco. I initially told Debo the Carolina Panthers, and I said the Carolina Panthers because I'm not entirely sure the Panthers are convinced. I know Steve Smith is not convinced that they have a number one wide receiver. They have DJ Moore. They have Curtis Samuel. You hope that DJ Moore is going to be that, but what they seem to be lacking is that fantastic veteran presence in there. And after I spent a lot of time, Will, in the month of January with the San Francisco 49ers covering their postseason games, what I learned from a Deebo Samuel, from a Kendrick Bourne, was just how much Emmanuel Sanders meant to those guys, that young group of players coming up, and how they were able to really improve their game early in their career after the trade for Emmanuel Sanders that San Francisco did. So I look at a team like the Carolina Panthers and I say, oh, those young guys could really benefit from a guy like Emmanuel Sanders. However, Emmanuel Sanders is kind of like Andre Iguodala in that, like, he only should and probably only wants to play for a championship contender, right? Yeah. He's been with the Broncos, just went to another Super Bowl. And so we're talking about contenders. We're talking about teams that need wide receivers. The New England Patriots, as they are trying to retain Tom Brady. That would be a fantastic gift to Tom Brady if Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick said, hey, we got you Emmanuel Sanders, and we got you this 2 or 3 year contract to finally finish your career in New England. What you say, Tommy?
That's a great call. I think if you're the Patriots, and this is the delicate line that they have to sort of walk with Tom Brady, is can you go out into the like, once we get to that noon at 11:59 on Monday, can the Patriots manage in the span of about 36 hours? Let's say 48 hours. So 52 hours is probably right. In 52 hours, can they manage to tamper their way into landing somebody like Emmanuel Sanders, somebody like Hunter Henry, and then successfully convince Tom Brady to return if that's what they ultimately want their plan to be? And if it is, I think that could be, you know, I mean, like that's certainly a blueprint to having Tom Brady back in New England. But I think you're going to have to get guys. You got to just beef up the receiving core for him if you want him to come back, in my opinion. All right, the last two guys in this list I think are going to be the same for everybody. You could flip them if you wanted to, depending on your opinion of home and away splits for one guy and age for the other guy. Number two guy, though, AJ Green, and number one guy, Amari Cooper. First of all, there's a chance neither guy makes it to free agency. Amari Cooper could get franchise tagged, depending on the CBA, depending on what happens with Dak Prescott's contract. AJ Green, it does sound like the Bengals will franchise tag him, but if he throws a fit and says he's going to refuse to play for him, then maybe that doesn't happen. What led you to stack these guys in this particular way, JJ?
Yeah, so I have AJ Green at number two only because of age and injury concerns that he has missed something like 24 of the past 25 games that the Bengals have played due to injury. So that is my issue with him. Amari Cooper, last we saw him, was not getting the ball thrown as much his way as he should have, certainly against the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought that he still has it. Obviously, he's young, much younger than AJ Green, who I believe is turning 32 this year. Amari Cooper is currently 25. He will be 26 before the start of the season. So if AJ Green were healthy, he would be my number one with a bullet, no doubt about it. I'm concerned about his health. And then so in terms of fits, right, we believe that AJ Green is going to be with the Bengals. They will extend the franchise tag. If they do not, then I think that we can reignite the does Joe Burrow want to go to Cincinnati rumors. And so just for the sake of argument, I threw the Raiders in there as a potential landing spot for AJ Green. But of course, I'm not putting too much effort into AJ Green out to one of the 31 other teams. He's going to Cincinnati. As far as Amari Cooper, I have no idea how the San Francisco 49ers would do it in terms of contract and money. But I have Cooper going to the 49ers. If he does not end up with the Cowboys, but again, the Cowboys should do everything that they can to keep Amari Cooper. They traded a first round pick for him. It made a lot of sense. Not immediately when they made the trade for him, right? And I'll raise my hand and I absolutely said,
I ripped it apart. It's like, you're idiots. Why did you trade for Amari Cooper? And then I flipped and said the Cowboys did the smart thing and traded for Amari Cooper. And I may have ripped everybody on both sides of this deal at one various point. And I'm going to go back to ripping the Cowboys if they let him walk after trading a first round pick for him.
That's absolutely right. You traded a first rounder for him. You got to keep him in house. You knew you were going to have to pay him at some point. You tried to kick that can down the road. You're now at the end of the road and here's the can. So you're at the curb. Do something.
And again, not to harp on this, cause I talked about it at length yesterday on the Super Friends pod, but like, you could have signed Dak last offseason, and then you wouldn't have this problem with Amari Cooper. Like, Amari Cooper wasn't going to sign because he wanted to see free agency, and he saw the timing of the Dak stuff. I get it. He's a chill dude. He's been traded now on his rookie contract. He's not trying to deal with that. To me, there are some red flags with Amari Cooper, including his home and away splits. He doesn't play well on the road for whatever reason. And the fact that two teams are going to actively – like let him go before the age of 26 is a little concerning. Like if this were the dating market and you were like, this very attractive person is has already been like, why did they let it? They dumped her? Dumped her? Like what? Like they dumped her?
Yeah, but I mean, one was the Raiders.
Yeah,
and then the other, if this happens again, I think we would all understand that the Cowboys had some sort of cap issue where they just could not get creative enough. As our colleague and pal Jason LaCanfora has pointed out, it's cash, not cap. And so I'm not going to say they don't have the cash to do it. They do have cap issues that they clearly do not want to get creative enough to necessarily figure out. I was also told recently that back in September when they did offer Dak Prescott that deal that was reportedly an average of $33 million per year, that it was sort of a take it or leave it, that there was very little wiggle room involved, that the structure of that deal was not very advantageous to a young quarterback. And so, you know, the Cowboys multiple times, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of people, have shot themselves in the foot. You cannot screw up the franchise quarterback. You clearly got him. You got him on a cost control deal, cheaper than anyone else for 3 years. You got to pay him.
And you, by the way, you didn't win anything big in those 3 years where you had him, or 4 years where you had him for Dak's case. I like the 49ers call. I think that's a sneaky landing spot for Amari Cooper. When you look at what Kyle Shanahan's done with true, like A1 alpha wide receivers, they put up monster numbers. You saw it with Julio. You've seen it elsewhere. Pierre Garçon even in Washington. So I dig that call. My tight end rankings, just my top three. I don't know. Help me break the tie here because I'm sort of twisted up in a knot between Jacob Hollister, Blake Jarwin, and Tyler Eifert. Those would be the two guys that would vie for the number three spot here. Hollister has, you know, flashed some with Seattle. I would probably lean Hollister because I think that he's like Jarwin showed up like some athleticism with the Cowboys, and that's great. Ebron, I know, had that big touchdown season with the Colts. I'm not really into any of those guys in terms of paying up, but I think you get a decent secondary option. You know, you need to have good wide receivers if you're going to try to bring one of these guys in and lean on. Like, you don't want to have to bring one of these guys in and lean on them as your top receiving option. And Witten, could Witten go to the Giants? Witten's going to catch like 42 passes for 6 yards before falling down.
I like Hollister at number three among those guys.
All right. I would agree with that too. And then, look, I'm not opposed to Austin Hooper at number one, but I'm going to put Austin Hooper at number two. I think he's a little less complete than Hunter Henry in terms of what he can do. And to me, if I'm signing a free agent who either played with the Los Angeles Chargers or played with the Washington Redskins, I'm not looking at it as those guys are injury prone. I'm looking at it as those guys have been working with medical staffs that apparently can't keep people healthy. And if they come here, they're going to play 16 games and we're going to be in good shape. Henry for me is the number one here. I like Hooper a lot. I think he's a really good receiving tight end. I don't necessarily think you're going to put him in line quite as much. Henry, I just think it can be a red zone monster and just a prototypical modern tight end, but just has to play 16 games. And I think maybe Henry more than Hooper, you could make the focal point of the offense.
I agree with that. Again, it's the same thing with AJ Green and Amari Cooper for me. I know that Austin Hooper, or at least I believe that Austin Hooper is going to be more available for me and my football team than Hunter Henry. And I hear everything that you're saying. This is just, it comes down to a philosophy for me. This is a guy in Austin Hooper missed two games in his rookie season, missed three games last year. Sandwiched in between there are two full 16 game seasons. And every year he has gotten better. Each year he has increased his total yards. He's increased his receiving touchdowns. He's been a bigger factor. He's learned various different offenses with three different offensive coordinators at this point with the Atlanta Falcons. And he has still done a fantastic job throughout the years, along with having an amazing wide receiver core around him and still getting his with Julio Jones, with Calvin Ridley, with Mohamed Sanu, more than not over the last couple of years. And so because of all of those things, and especially because of the health, I would have Austin Hooper at number one, who, according to my sources, there are going to be about four teams in the mix for him. Right now, the Green Bay Packers, I don't want to call them the leaders in the clubhouse, but they have certainly made a push for him. And I would believe that the floor for Austin Hooper's contract, which could be around a four-year deal, would probably be somewhere in between $10 and $11 million per year. And then you just got to see, once this turns into an auction, how high that price can go.
Interesting. I like to hear that. I mean, that's good for him. Packers would be a very good landing spot for him. I think when you look at Green Bay, one of the things that they miss is that secondary option for Aaron Rodgers behind Devontae Adams. Jimmy Graham wasn't ever going to be it when they signed him. We should have known that. He's going to be let go, maybe retire. And Hooper would be a really nice fit there because you could utilize him in the running game. And then with the Matt LaFleur rollout system that comes from the Kyle Shanahan stuff, you get Rodgers bootlegging, you get Hooper flowing across the field. It makes a lot of sense. Open things up for Devontae Adams. So I dig that. Hunter Henry, and I think this will apply for Hooper too, but I think Hooper would be more too expensive. Hunter Henry makes so much sense if he's not franchise tagged for the New England Patriots.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Perfect. You made that point earlier and you're right.
Yeah. Like Emmanuel Sanders and Hunter Henry's going to catch 14 touchdowns next year and like 785 receiving yards and have a breakout season, be really healthy and be Tom Brady's best friend, blah, 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 blah. And then the Chargers are like, I can't believe it didn't work for us. It's so weird how it doesn't happen. And you're like, yeah, that's crazy. It just keeps not happening for you guys, Chargers. All right, that's it for this show, unless you have another landing spot for Hunter Henry that you want.
Nope, that's it. Love it.
Okay. Anybody else that's going to be in on the tight end market, by the way? Packers, Patriots?
Yeah, those are the two, you know, top dogs, right?
Okay. Coming up later this week, we'll do more free agent rankings. We'll have offensive line chatter. Maybe we're on Pete Prisco for that. Defensive line chatter. Of course, new secondary linebackers as well. Moving right along as we get towards next week. JJ, always fun to talk to you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Loved it.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.